Well, I want to just say this. I really appreciate your invitation. And I also appreciate all the people being so warm and so welcoming. And what a blessing. Can you say amen? What a blessing. I must say, I was very, very touched. Sometimes you go places today and people just you know, run you through kind of a thing, you know. But that's not the way it is here. And I'd also like to say that I really enjoyed the music, the worship. I was trying to figure out the songs, and I figured out YouTube now and how to save stuff and how to search it. And yeah, you've done very, very well. And we really appreciate you guys coming. That was 6 months ago now, the luau we did. And did you guys enjoy Liam Patillo when he came and his wife, Renee? Yeah. Yeah, they're doing very, very well. And told me to tell you guys hello. And they've been all over. I think they're back just in Las Vegas for a while now. And before they start traveling again, we've been snowed in a lot. since I don't know what's going on in Gresham, but East Portland. But we live on a hill. It's about 530 feet above sea level. And I think since December 5th, that's about 8 weeks, isn't it? Just a little, right around 8 weeks. We've been snowed in and iced in for at least four of those weeks. Isn't that bizarre? That is bizarre. And like, we get snowed in, you know, and you think, you know, you can't get out. I mean, it rains, it all freezes, and you're all stuck, aren't you? And, you know, I mean, what do? You just look out there and, well, in my case, I eat. Watch a good movie with my wife. And, you know, I must say, I really have a good wife. I love my wife. She's just been a blessing. And she's a very good cook. And so, needless to say, I gained a few pounds. But I said, what do? You know, I mean, good, you know, what do? But anyhow, she's put me on a diet pretty soon. Bless her heart. But I must say that probably this last year is one of the best years we've had. And in a different way to what you think. You know, you just go to this place and God begins to move. It rather reminds me, the only way I can explain this is... you know, in Jerusalem, years ago, on the Sabbath, they closed all the gates. Is that right? Yeah. All the gates. So if there was camels with all their merchandise on them, right, they couldn't get into Jerusalem because they were all shut. And if they stayed outside the walls, then what would happen? There was robbers who could rob them. So there was this one opening called, you all know what it is, don't you? The eye of the needle, right? And it was a very, very narrow entrance into Jerusalem. And so what they had to do was, they would bring the camels, and they had to kneel down, right? Anybody been on a camel before? Good grief, wretched things, aren't they? And number one, they spit at you and stink. But when you get on them, they go up like this. I thought, holy cow. You know what I'm talking about? The back end goes up, man. And I thought, holy cow. Anyway. So they have to get down on all fours, and they have to take everything off. And just take all their goods off them, the material things, until it's just them left. Then they get up, and they can go through the eye of a needle. And once on the other side, things are put back on them. Well, I kind of felt like a camel recently. Probably my wife says, yeah, you've got the hump to prove it. thank you, Christine. I appreciate you. God bless your heart. But sometimes God takes you through experiences. Because if you want to come in, I mean, let's face it, Jerusalem is a very, very significant place. I mean, they believe that's where the Garden of Eden was. That's where... it's believed that Abraham, probably in the Temple Mount inside Jerusalem, but that's where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. And that's where David, when they brought the ark, all these things happened in that area. So, you know, it's a very significant place. So if you want to, it's like if you want to come into the things of God in a greater way, then you have to, God takes you through a place of surrender and sacrifice. And I've very much enjoyed some of the songs that you had to do with that, with the altar and sacrifice. But there's really no other way. I feel God calling us like never before. And I have felt for some time that the Lord's been separating the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the tares. He's been separating those who are His from those who say they are but aren't. They've had one of the biggest declines in attendance in the churches of America ever. The attendances are falling rapidly. And they decided, some folks decided to do a survey. And they decided they would do the survey inside churches, inside those places where the Christians gather. And they began to talk with people, and they made a discovery that 50 to 60% of those who attend church aren't really living for God. They say they're a Christian, they have a Bible, maybe they give and tithe, maybe they, I don't know. But there's something wrong on the inside. They're not living the life. When you hear of churches where you have homosexual preachers and lesbian preachers and pastors, something's wrong. Well, you're saying that you're against homosexuals? No, I love people. I had two homosexuals in my church in England that got saved and got delivered. One's now dead, but he lived for God. The other guy's still living. Good man. We make decisions. What we're going to do and what we're not going to do. Around the last time I was here, I had an unfolding revelation. And it was rather unique, actually, because I had this, it started with a vision of a, and you might recall this, I don't know, you think, it might, it's, I remember everything because it has to do with me, doesn't it? But in this vision that I had, it was a scroll. I looked up and it was open. And it kind of looked like something you go down on a sled with or a slope you'd ski down. And on it was all this writing. Some was red and some was gold and some was silver. Some was green. And I said, Lord, what does this say? And I looked at it, I was trying to make it, and I could only make out one word, and the word was pray. And then all of a sudden, the top row of words or letters began to slip down into the second row. And then those began to slip down the third. And it kept going and going until all these letters slid right off the scroll. And the scroll became just white. And the letters, as they came off, began to like spin in a whirlwind. And then the scene kind of changed. And I'm looking at it, these letters all swirling. And then I saw myself standing, and all these letters came down and settled on me, but they didn't settle on me, they sunk into me. And I thought, good grief, what in the world is this then? And the Lord very clearly spoke to me, and says, this is something that happened over a period several weeks, a couple of months, I don't know. But it was a period of time, a short period of time. And the Lord said very clearly to me, He says, I have called you to be a living epistle. That our lives are to be a letter. That, you know, we can't be somebody we're not anymore. Those days are long gone. You've got to be who you really are in Christ. If you're going to live for God and He's doing a work in you, then it's going to change everything. He has called you, and He has called me, and He's called each of us to be living epistles where the Word lives within us. And I remember when I came here, and the reason I remember this so vividly is that when this all started, the first thing that happened, actually, I was given a scroll, and it had a ribbon around it. Now, when I came here, a lady walked up to me and gave me a scroll. This is an honest thing my wife would say, it's an honor to God's truth, that was white, rolled up in the exact same way I saw in my vision. Is this right, Christy? I'm not evangelistically speaking, am I? No, I'm not. Thank you. Okay. It was a scroll, and it was tied up in the same kind of a ribbon that I saw in my vision. And I thought, good night, what's all this then? What is all this? This is very unusual. But what God's began to do is He has began to quicken that work. And, you know, I've been in the ministry for over 44 years, I think it's been now. I've lost track. I don't know how old I am anymore. You'll have to ask my wife, how old am I now? You know, I forgot. 44 years. But during that time, I remember when I was first saved, I remember, you know, I grew up in the Church of England. I was a choir boy, good choir boy. Used to wear this robe, these white things around your neck. So, you know, you walk around like this. I thought, what in the heck is this? I thought we've all got broken necks or something, you know. And I was in the church. My mother put me in the church, Cub Scouts, you know, I did all that. And I knew there was a God, but I didn't know Him. But then, during the Vietnam War, I was in the U.S. Air Force, God began to deal with me. But I didn't go to church. But the Spirit of God began to deal with me. Now, that's very scary, isn't it? Because where are you going to run? You can't, because God's dealing, He's dealing with you. You know, you're dealing with truth. You know, it's right there. It's not something you can just walk into and walk out of. It's you. And God began to reveal Himself to me and brought me to my knees. And I tell you what, I had a fear of God. I was scared that I would die and go to hell. Because I said, oh, is there a God? Is there a God? And the words would come back to me, oh, yeah, maybe. But what if there is? And this realization that I could be dead in a few weeks or a few months. And then what? Became far too real to me. And so eventually I found a little chick track, a little booklet, This Is Your Life, along with Somebody Loves Me. And I read that, man, it gripped me, and I got saved through a chick track. I prayed the sinner's prayer, This Is Your Life. My friend, myself and I, we both had orders to go to Southeast Asia. We went up on Folsom, a hill overlooking Folsom Lake near Folsom Prison. And we didn't know what the heck was going to happen. We thought angels would appear, and didn't happen. But we were different. My orders got canceled, and he left, you know, and I got sent to England. And where, that's a whole new story, which isn't the right time to share that, but other than to say this, that God began to do something real in my life, not manufactured by man. But later on, as the call of God came on my life, and I was called to the ministry in England. I was visiting a cathedral where Arthur Blessed was preaching, and I was called to the ministry. I thought, "What the heck is this? I never, you know, people are walking up, and all of a sudden my feet started going by themselves. I thought, "Oh my goodness, how embarrassing!" You know. And so we went in this little room and we prayed. We're praying, And somebody put their hand on my shoulder and said, oh, God's got great things. You began to pray over me and saying all this stuff. And I thought, holy cow. I said, you know, if he asked me what I'm called to, I don't know what to say. And it was Arthur Blessed. And I remember I came out of that room. I thought, holy cow, what is going on? And the Lord said to me during that time, do you want to finish your degree? And I said, no. What do you want to do? I said, I want to live for you. What else is there? I remember being outside of this little room, kneeling and praying by myself, quietly so no one could hear. Somebody walks up to me, puts their hand on my shoulder. This is the honest truth. And begins to pray over me. He became one of the main leaders in England years later. Honestly, I can't think of his name right now. Tremendous guy. Of course, we're all young then. And I had asked the Lord five things. And he, as he prayed for me, he answered all five of the questions that I asked. That was pretty scary. And what do you do with that, you know? Where do you go? Where you go, I go. there you are. It's your face truth. But later on, that was real. And I began to share with people. I was on an Air Force base. There were 12 of us who got really saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. We didn't know what the Holy Ghost was, but we started speaking in tongues. People started, we started sharing with people. People got angry at us. All kinds of stuff happened. We got in trouble. I got fired from my job. How could you get fired when you're in the Air Force? I was an accountant. I got fired. That was the Vietnam War. People want, okay, send me home. And this lady said to me, CEO said, you better quit talking this Jesus stuff. Or you're going to be in trouble. And I said, how can I leave Jesus outside? She told me, how can I do that when he lives in my heart? When I come in, he comes in. When I go out, he goes. I don't know what to tell you. But anyhow, I got fired from that job and put somewhere else where no one wanted to go. And I got stuck. They told me to work with this one guy that no one could stand. The guy was Mr. Anxiety. Have you ever been around somebody who's just... So I thought, all right, well, never mind. I said, okay, Lord, you got all this under control. They used to make, I wasn't going to share this, but I'm into it now. I'm reliving it while I'm speaking, And so, we had all kinds of things happen there. And they made me stay after work and clean up, sweep up while they showed porno movies. And they tried to get me to watch them. Hey, look at this. I ain't looking, man. I'm just not doing it, And so this guy, his name was Rich. And, God put a love in my heart for this guy. And one day, I said, why don't you, there's a bunch of us, we're meeting at this house, we're going to have lunch together. I said, would you like to come over and have lunch with us? He said, yeah, which shocked me, So he came and got saved. He got powerfully saved. And that night, at the service we had, he got up and said that he had been through living hell, that his wife had gone off with another guy, that he had nothing else to live for, and he was going to kill himself that night. He had everything ready, and when I asked him to go to lunch, he didn't have any money. She took everything he had, and he was hungry, so he said, what the heck, I'm going to die anyway. I might as well just go with Chris. And his life was changed. Was it worth all the stuff you go through? Yeah. He began to preach and he began to share. A move of God broke out on our base. People were getting saved all over the place. It started with the young guys. Then it began to go up through the ranks. They began to go from our base to other bases in England. I was in England by that time. That's why I got sent, which is really amazing. And then it went right through Europe. And I left in 1990. I ended up pastoring a church there and evangelizing on the streets, preaching on the streets, had rotten vegetables thrown at me, you know, cussed out. But you know what happened? I'd meet people and they'd come to the Lord. A lot of folks got saved. The police assaulted us, tried to shut us down. And so I had to go see the head of the police for the town I lived in. And I told him what was going on. He says, "Man, I really apologize." He said, "These guys were out of line what they did. We were preaching," and they said, "You're not allowed to preach on the streets of England." "But you are allowed. It's the law. You're allowed to preach. But you're not allowed to have, you know, amplification. And you can't block people's right of way." We weren't doing any of those things. You know, we were fine. And the guy apologized. And so he said, "Here, Chris," he said, "from here on out," he said, "I apologize to you for this. But every time you go out and have an outreach in town, tell me, and I will send two bobbies, two policemen, to stand and protect you guys. One on the right and one on the left." And so one of those young men who had assaulted us was one of the guys who had to stand guard over us. Lovely. God's got a sense of humor, doesn't he? But as you go on, all of a sudden people start telling you, "Well, if you're going to be a preacher, you've got to do this and this and this." And those things aren't all bad. But you start to learn a method and a way of thinking that's an imposition. It's placed upon you. I'm not saying these things are bad, but all of a sudden it takes away from what God's doing. And it's easily become very traditional and religious. And success is based upon numbers. It's based upon money. It's based upon people, you know, how much noise they make. I shared some time ago about the word church. Do you mind if I just... Is this okay? All right. And the word church is a mistranslation. The word is translated from... It's a Greek word, ecclesia. But it's translated church. The word church is an English... Because I'm English, so I know, don't I? It comes from an English... noun, the English word is, years ago, was cirque. And the German word was kirk. Now, this is what's really interesting about this. The word cirque literally means circle. And it's where the word circus is derived from. Same with kirk. Circle, circus. And it's associated with the goddess of pharmakia, or the goddess of pharmakilia, however you want to pronounce it, the goddess of sorcery, who uses drugs and various things to control people, and especially leaders and business leaders, political leaders, business leaders. The goddess of pharmakilia. It's interesting that the Bible talks about in the last days that drug use or pharmakia would be widespread. And I want to tell you, it's just not drugs like marijuana and heroin and all the cocaine. It's the pharmaceutical drugs. Pharmakia is where we get the word pharmacy from, where you go to get your medication. And so is all medication wrong? No, but there's far too much of it. It's not good for you. I had to go see my doctor a while back. In the VA, he says, "Well, what are you taking?" I said, "What do you mean, what am I taking?" He said, "Well, what medication do you take?" I said, "I don't take anything." He said, "Well, what do you do when you're not well?" I said, "I ask my wife to pray for me." He said, "Well, then what happens?" I said, "I feel better." So, you know, he just kind of looked at me and said, "I think my wife was there. He couldn't figure it all out. He didn't know what to do. So he tried to put me on some stuff. Anyway, it didn't work, so I don't have anything. I still don't have a thing. Just a praying wife." Can't think of any better way to go other than that way. You know what I'm saying here? The goddess of circle, goddess of the circle, of the goddess of Pharmakeia, her, in Greek mythology, her father was Helios, the sun god, or Satan. She lived, it was purported, on an island, a Greek island, right across from the island of Patmos, where the Apostle John wrote Revelations. And she's pictured in Greek mythology as a woman with a goblet in her hand, and she is pictured in Revelation as the Whore of Babylon. Isn't that interesting? Now, one of the reasons I'm saying that is to say this. I've been talking to a number of people have been coming to me and talking to me about various things, and some of the things that people are saying now more than ever, they said the church is like a circus. And recently, is this right, Christine? What this guy recently said, it's like our church is like a three-ring circus. We don't want to go anymore. If you want to have a successful circus, you have to have some good performers. Right? If you want to make money, you've got to have people, so the show is on. And it's a show. It's manipulation, it's control. The more better for the performance, the more popular you become, the more money you get. But see, the kingdom of God isn't about those things. The kingdom of God is about something completely different. The kingdom of God is about living for Jesus. The kingdom of God is about living for God. And so I became eventually pioneered a church. I got out of the Air Force and went back to England, pioneered three works in England. And, you know, with God's help. And I was told that of those, out of the original church that we pioneered, there's been over 250 churches that have been planted out of that church. But there were some pretty tough times we went through. Who would have ever known something like that could happen? But God's looking for real people. And so the Lord took me and he said, you want to really live for me? You want to be who I want you to be? And I said, yes, I do. He said, then I'm going to take everything off of you. I'm going to take everything away and I want you to follow me. Was that easy? There's no other way, though. What else do you do? But in fact, what I thought was bad or difficult or hard wasn't hard and difficult. It was hard and difficult, but the blessing was incredible. Now, I don't mean the blessing that you see, that you look at through the world's eyes. What people say is blessing in the world is not really always blessing. The peace, the joy, the things that my wife and I see God do is absolutely amazing. This last couple of years have been the best 2 years of my life because I'm not trying to perform. I'm not trying to, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, oh, I've got to make this people happy, that people. No, I'm going to be who I am in Christ. When you speak the truth, people don't always like it. But I was born in truth. Outside the church, I got saved in truth. And the truth still lives in me. I can feel the presence of God here. I want to share. I have a favorite song by, what's his name, Josh Groban, is it? How do you say his name? Josh Grabani? Whatever, yeah. You Raise Me Up. to be more than I can be. Isn't that what the Lord's doing? He's raising us up to be more than we can be. Cause us to walk on the water. I want to be more. I want God to do a work in me. My desire is to see God do a work in each of us so that we become more than we can be. Because we limit what God wants to do, but if we just trust Him, oh, there ain't no telling what's going to happen. I decided today that it's taken me quite a few years to do this, but I'm not going to use my sermon book hardly at all, which is scary. But I felt like God dealing with me that you need to share from your heart. You need to share what I've put into you. You need to let my life come forth and touch people. And that's what I want to do in the next 3 days. Not that I haven't studied, not that I don't prepare, not that I don't pray. No, I've done all that, but now I want the Lord to move. I can feel it. You guys have gone through a lot. God's going to help you. He's going to do things that's going to amaze you. This year is the year 2017. Can you believe it? I didn't even thought about 2017. I was just getting used to 2012. Forget about 2013, 14, 15, and 16 by the time I haven't caught up with them yet. Now it's 2017, it's February already. But 2017 is a significant number. Because 17 in Scripture, do you know what it symbolizes? Does anybody know what 17 symbolizes? Would you like to know? Yes. One more time. Yes. Man, I feel so much better now. I was preaching somewhere, everyone was asleep. I thought, I could go out and have lunch and have a snack and come back in. No one would even miss me, but that's not the way it is here. 2017. 17 in Scripture symbolizes overcoming the enemy. Overcoming the enemy and complete victory. This is the year the enemy is going to be overcome and you and I are going to have complete victory. You need to take that and hear that and grasp it by faith. It's the year to overcome the enemy of your soul and to have complete victory. Complete victory is yours. Do we go through difficulties? Yes. Do we have hardship? Yes. Do we have setbacks? Yes. Do we shoot ourselves in the foot and everywhere else? Yes. How do you know? I've done it. I've got scars. But this is a year of complete victory. A year we overcome the enemy and have complete victory. It's also the Jewish year 5777. Now 5777 is very interesting because 5 is a number of grace, 7 is a number of God, and 3 means completion or complete. So this is this for the Jewish year. It is God's complete grace. So God's given us complete grace, His grace, to overcome the enemy and to have complete victory. Now, during the course of today, tomorrow morning and tomorrow night, I'm going to share these things that God's put into my heart. I'd like to just say something else. And I do that tomorrow morning, so you don't want to miss that. I do that another time. Okay. But I will share this. And you guys heard of Kim Clement, right? I met Kim Clement some years ago with his brother. I forget where I was at the time. But anyway, he made a prophecy in February 10th, 2007 in Scottsdale, Arizona. And if you don't mind, I'd like to just read this. This is what he said. He said, there will be a praying president, not a religious one. For I will fool the people, says the Lord. I will fool the people. Yes, I will. God says, the one that is chosen shall go in, and they shall say, he has hot blood. Okay. For the Spirit of God says, yes, he may have hot blood, but he will bring the walls of protection on this country in a greater way, and the economy of this country shall change rapidly, says the Lord of hosts. It's amazing that I think the economy has gone up $1.5 trillion since Trump became president. Listen to the word of the Lord, God says. I will put at your helm for two terms a president that will pray, but he will not be a praying president when he starts. I will put him in office, and then I will baptize him with the Holy Spirit and my powers as the Lord of hosts. This that shall take place shall be the most unusual thing, a transfiguration, a going into the marketplace, if you wish, and into the news media. Now, doesn't that blooming describe Trump to you? Where Time magazine will have no choice but to say what I want them to say, Newsweek what I want them to say, The View what I want to say, Trump shall become a trumpet. And by the way, Trump, Donald Trump, his mother was Scottish. Now, I'm English, so we know a lot about the Scots. There's a reason why we stuck him in front of our army and gave him bagpipes and a flag, you know? And they wore a dress. They wore a kilt, I mean, sorry. With no underwear, by the way. These guys are all nuts. We knew they were nuts. But, you know, what do you do when you have an army coming and there's these guys wearing dresses, you know, playing bagpipes? I mean, this is the truth. People run for their lives, and I can't say I blame them. But the word Donald means world ruler. Did you know that? And the word Trump means to sound a warning, to blow a trumpet at a time of danger or a significant time. A world ruler who will sound the trumpet, who will sound he will give a warning at an opportune time. Heavy. Anyway, let me finish this then. Trump shall become a trumpet. I will raise up the Trump to become a trumpet, and Bill Gates to open up the gate of financial realm for the church. Well, that would be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah. We'll keep believing for that then. For God said, I will not forget 9/11. I will not forget what took place that day. And I will not forget the gatekeeper that watched over New York, who will once again stand and watch over this nation, says the Spirit of God. It shall come to pass that the man that I place in the highest office shall go in whispering my name. But God said, when he enters into office, he will be shouting out by the power of the Holy Spirit. For I shall fill him with the Spirit when he goes into office, and there will be a praying man in the highest seat in the land. Amen. Come on. Isn't that lovely? No wonder. See, this whole election we had was not political so much as it was spiritual. What's going on now is just amazing. When I saw this girl, she when they heard that Trump won, she fell on you may have seen this on TV, she fell on her knees, banging her head on the ground, you know, hitting. She's like a possessed woman. And probably was. I wanted to share and give a little foundation of where we're at right now, where we're going. And to say that God has a plan. You're part of his plan. I want to say also, I feel there's going to be a war in the Middle East soon. In Jerusalem, especially. So when it happens, don't get worried. God has a plan. And the third temple will get built. It will be rebuilt. It will be built, rebuilt. Now, I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but I just have this feeling deep down inside. God's put Trump there to support Israel. I don't know if you heard about Iran today. They put sanctions on the other day for firing some missiles. They fired some more today. So watch out. Okay. Anyway, I want to share a little bit before we close tonight out of Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 20. I'm not going to read all those verses. I'm only going to read a few. I'll read them over the course of the next tomorrow and tomorrow evening. And I want to just share with you things that God's been speaking to me about and revealing to me. And I'm going to read out the One New Man Bible, written by a Jewish man. Well, written by the Holy Ghost, but anyway. You know what I'm saying. Translated, yes. What would I do without you? Verse 1 says, then the angel showed me a river of water of life. Now, in the One New Man translation, it says, comma, Torah. The Greek word is nomos. It says, bright as crystal, going out from the throne of God and the Lamb. So here's this river flowing out of the throne of God. Bright as crystal. It's a river of life. But the actual word is Torah. The word Torah means what? The first five books of the Bible. Have you shared any of this at all? No. The Torah is the first five books of the Bible. But let me tell you something. The word Torah not only means the first five books of the Bible, but it can actually mean the Word of God overall. So this river that's flowing out of the throne of God is a river of God's instruction. It's a river of literally truth. Now I want you to understand this. This is a river of life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Is that right? I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So this river that's flowing is literally a river of truth. Water, in the Old Testament and New Testament for that matter, water represents, anybody know what water represents? It could, but no. Kind of. Yeah, it represents the word or truth. Water in the Old Testament or New Testament represents water. You've got to remember that now. Running water, anybody knows what running water represents? Running water represents obedience to the Word. So water is the Word of God. All right, so in the Old Testament, they would have priests, and the Bible tells us what in Revelations 1, 5 and 7? It says God has called us to be what? A kingdom of priests, or priests and kings, depending what translation you want to look at. But we're called to be priests. It doesn't matter if you're a man or if you're a woman, we're called to be priests of God. Is that right? Raise your hand if you believe that. All right. The job of a priest in the Old Testament was to go to the, one of the jobs, was to go to the people and receive their sacrifice and take it to the altar, tie it down on the altar and kill it. And then, you know, set it on fire, make a burn sacrifice to God. And so, in serving the people, what would happen to his hands? They'd get dirty, right? They'd get dirty. And so, walking backwards and forwards, what would happen to his feet? They'd get dirty, yeah. There were priests, they were called to serve people, and they were called to serve God. Then, they were to go into the holy place where they were to make intercession. But God, and right at the entranceway, there was this round thing called a laver. like a bird bath kind of thing that you could look in it. You could see a reflection in it. And it was filled with water. And when they looked into it, it would reflect them. And God said, if you come into the holy place and you're unclean, I will kill you. But I'm a priest, so I don't care what you are. You need to make sure you stay ceremoniously clean. Your hands represent ministry. When you serve other people, guess what? The people you help the most will probably do the worst things to you. Your attitudes, you're going to struggle with attitudes, you're going to struggle with stuff, because that's what ministry is about. Ministry is just strange. That's what I can say. It can be blessing, but it can be strange. Your feet represent your walk with God. Amos 3:3 says, how can two people walk together unless they agree together? So your feet have to be clean. Your feet represent your motives for doing what you do. Your heart for doing what you do. And so they would be ministering to the people. They'd be walking backwards and forwards. And they would go to serve God in the holy place. They would come to the labor. And the word of God will always reflect. The word, the truth will always show you who you really are. And then they were to put their hands in that water and they were to wash their hands, running water, in obedience to God. And then there was a smaller one at the bottom and it was filled with water as well, and they were to wash their feet. The water would reflect their feet and they would wash their feet. They would then be ceremoniously clean. The word will wash you within. It will cleanse you. Now we know the blood of Jesus cleanses a small sin, but the word of God will make you clean. Are you with me? All right, so now here's this river flowing out of the throne of God. It's a river of Torah, or God's instruction. And it's running. It's God's instruction, but it speaks of obedience to the word. And God calls us that if we want to know Him and live for Him, He will take us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. It tells us in Colossians 1:13. He will transform us out of darkness and into light. But He wants us then to come into truth. Now, when I was in China, we had incredible meetings. I met with the top leaders. We had people, I've shared this many times before, they would have to mop the floor up with the puddles of tears from these leaders, these church leaders of the Three Self Church. And we were hated by Christians for going to the Three Self Church people. But they were open to the gospel. And God blessed that nation because of the openness of their hearts and crying out to God. They wanted to hear the word. They cried out to God for truth. They asked for revelation. God is light. Light represents revelation. God is truth. The truth will set you free. We know all this, but there's been a failure to really live it out and have an understanding of what it is. And so then we come into the river. And I know your pastor's always saying, oh, I need to be in the river, I need to be in the river. Well, I remember sometime in the night as people say, oh, you need to be in the river. It's all like laughing and so. Well, that's fine. You know, that's fine. But it's more than that. Remember we started out by saying ecclesia has been mistranslated to the word church? The actual word means called out once. And it literally means this. Those who have been called by God to gather together and to hear His word and receive it on His terms and not their own and yield to that word and obey it. That's what it means. It's not a performance. It's letting God having His way within us. Letting Him have His way in us. I was asked to take a church some years ago. I'd never seen such blooming nonsense in my life. I come from China. Now I'm back in America, Christian nation. So I thought, I discovered this country needs missionaries more than any other country I've been to. I was shocked. There were people who were in the meetings, and I'd started preaching. They got up and walk out. And my wife said, "Where are you going?" They said, "Well, we aren't here for the word. We're here for the music." Really? I discovered that in America, a lot of the church is only interested in having them feel good. It's a soulish experience. In fact, we found out after we left that when we weren't there, they would smoke dope and get drunk. Someone used to go out there on the church roof, smoke dope together. Well, there you go. Well, that ain't the gospel I know. I got delivered from all of that stuff. I don't want that. I want life. I want to be set free. And when I preached the truth, they hated the truth. But God said, "I have called you by name to gather together, to hear the word of God on my terms and not yours. To yield to that, to repent, to do what's right." Say, "Oh God." So you cry out, you're on the altar where you have to lay things down. Maybe you have to apologize to somebody. But that truth is flowing through you and it hurts, but it feels good, but it hurts. Afterwards it feels real good, but when you're getting there, it's a blooming pain, let me tell you. And just when you think you've arrived, you find out you haven't arrived at all. That river flows. Who wants to be in the river? Let me see your hand. Who wants to receive truth on God's terms and not your own? Then let me just say this. How can somebody call themselves a Christian with this couple I just met, and they say, I said, "Oh, you know, how you know? Oh, yeah, we're doing well. We moved in together, you know, about last year. We're doing real well." I said, "Oh, really? When did you get married?" "Oh, no, we're not married. But I thought you said you were a Christian." "Oh, yeah. I don't know, maybe it's me, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but doesn't the Bible say that those who are sexually immoral don't go to heaven? Including homosexuals? God loves the homosexual people, He loves them, but He doesn't love the sin. And He calls us out. For others, it may be something, you know, maybe it's just being honest, telling the truth. There was a reason why Paul, they referred to the Christians as the way, because they were going God's way. They were truthers, if you'd like. What time do you normally end? God, dangerous. Living words.
We don't understand that word.
Oh, bless your little heart then. What's normal? Dear God, this is one of... I haven't experienced anything like this since I was in China. We used to speak. We'd pray. We'd ask the anointing. God would give me a word or a vision. I would speak on it for an hour, 2 hours or longer. And when the anointing stopped, I had nothing else to say. I couldn't even think of anything to say. It just stopped. But you can't do that in America. You know, 20 minutes, buddy, 20 minutes. 3 praise songs, 4 worship. Is it 3 and 2? 3 and 4. 3 praise songs and 4 worship. Offering announcements. Well, there's nothing wrong with having some order, but we need to get back to just being who we are in Christ. God's order. I might have to move up here and hang out with you guys. I thought there's something wrong with my wife and I. I thought, are we nuts? You know, is it us? It says, in the middle of its street, also on each side of the river, is a tree of life making 12 fruits, yielding its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are used for the healing of the multitudes. Huh. So what is the tree of life? Well, isn't it interesting that that word life is also translated Torah? Or God's instruction? Or the word of God, or truth? There is a tree of life. And it bears fruit every month. And its leaves are healing for the nations. The Bible tells me, if you read Galatians, it says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, temperance, faith, against sin, there's no law. And I probably skipped a few things. Olive oil is symbolic of joy. And so, what we see is there's new fruit every month. So what we're understanding is, as we're in the river of life, as we gather together and we hear truth, it's an ongoing experience. It's not you just get in the river and get out and you're done. No. You stay in it. You continually gather together. What does it tell us again? Hebrews 10:26. Forsake not the gathering of yourself, especially as the final day approaches. Forsake not the gathering together, as the manner of some has been. Forsake, don't quit doing that. Why? Because today, we live in a world of great deception. We live in a world, and I'm going to talk about this, I'm going to talk about evil, and I'm going to talk about shalom, and I'm going to talk about some other stuff as well. Who knows what I'm going to end up talking about. But anyway, we've got to gather together. We've got to hear truth. God, help us, speak to us. Give us truth. Give us revelation. Open our eyes like never before. And so our hearts, our lives, they begin to pant and hunger after the things of God, like the deer that begins to pant after the streams, the cool waters, when it's thirsty. So we begin to thirst and hunger after the things of God. Lord, we want revelation. We want to know you in a greater way. Open up the windows of heaven. Open up truth to us so we can see it and understand it and apply it to our lives. And so then naturally, as we're in the river, as we're hearing truth and as we're responding to it, as we're doing what's right, we yield to it, we receive it, we come to the altar, and then we obey it, it causes fruit to come in our lives. New fruit continuously being born. My wife makes, we got this here blender, and she makes, what do you make every day? A smoothie. She buys all this fruit. We got grapefruits and bananas and apples and whatever. I don't know what it all is. Berries. I just drink it. And if I don't, you know, I'm in trouble. I get strong-handed by a woman. Firmly strong-handed by a woman. Woman handled. Okay, sorry. So we have all this fruit. But guess what happens if that fruit's not used? You lay around for a while. It rots. Fruit's really good when it's new and it's fresh, but after a while it's rotting. So the Lord says, you've got fruit, that's good, but you need to have ongoing fruit. Otherwise, if you have rotting fruit, what's it like? It stinks. Amen. All right, I'm going to close. And I'll pick up where I left off tomorrow. God wants us to have fruit. And that fruit's a natural byproduct of truth. And I'm kind of excited about sharing the rest with you. But I don't want to share too much. But has this kind of helped you guys at all? And so I'm trying to give you an understanding of a little bit of my history. And where I'm at right now and how I got there and why. Because I started getting into the river, letting truth flow through me. And letting God deal with me. But then revelation came. Oh, wonderful. God gives me revelation all the time. It's just, I feel so undeserving sometimes. But it's revelation. Now, it may not be revelation to anyone else, but it's revelation to me. And I'm seeing everything's changing. My whole life is changing. We'll deal with the leaves tomorrow morning. Is that all right? Can we deal with that? Can we just stop right now? And you know, you guys are such good folk. You really are. And I want to make sure you get plenty of rest so you can be here early in the morning. How many people are in, you've received truth into your heart and your life? Let me see your hand. How many people here haven't received that truth yet, but you would like to receive truth? You'd like to receive Christ as your Savior. But you want to receive truth. That's good. Do you know Jesus as your Lord? Okay. Anyone who's not saved who wants to know the Lord, who wants to make heaven their home, anyone at all? Well, yeah, I used to say, heavy head bowed, every eye closed, no looking around, but now look around, have a look. What do you do? But I'm just going to ask this night that you will think about this river. Picture it. Just close your eyes for a second. Just picture this in your mind just for a few minutes. This river flowing out of the throne of God. And God's calling you into truth. He's calling you into this river of life because that truth will set you free and bring you into the fullness of life where there's joy and gladness forevermore. And I want you to see yourself just saying, okay, Lord, you know, and there's always reasons why you're not good enough or why you can't get in. Just forget about all that. Just forget about it. Say, Lord, just forgive me. If there's things you've done in your life that aren't right, just let it go. Maybe you feel you're not good enough or you failed. Well, join the club. We're all failures. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, none right. Well, we've all missed it, mate. All of us. So don't let that stop. And just come and let God just bless you. Let Him help you. Let Him speak to you. And I want you to say in your heart, Lord, I want to hear You. Speak to me this week. I want to hear Your voice. I want You to change me from the inside out. Lord, have Your way in me. Change me. Help me to yield to You. Help me to walk in Your way. Help me to obey You, that I'll have fruit in my life. New fruit every month. Fresh fruit. And I believe as that begins to happen, I think we're about to see a great move of God begin to explode. I believe we won't see the end of this. The rapture will come. It'll still go on after we're gone. But all the believers up to that time will be gone. But I think we're going to see signs and wonders and miracles like never before. Lord, just speak to every person right now. Have Your way. Have Your way. Touch every heart. Touch every life. Lord, heal anybody here. Someone here has a problem with their stomach or an internal problem in their body. If there's somebody here right now like that, I just speak healing into your body.